If you have your Baptist Catechism at the ready, we are looking today at question 108. Question 108 asks, what do we pray for in the first petition? And we note that the first petition is not, "Thy kingdom come." The first petition is, "Hallowed be thy name." So, what do we pray for in the first petition? Answer. In the first petition, which is, "Hallowed be thy name," we pray that God would enable us and others to glorify him in all that whereby he maketh himself known, and that he would dispose all things to his own glory. So, right away you see two main things from one petition. So in the one petition, "Hallowed be thy name," there will be two main petitions that flow from that. And within each of those two petitions, lots of things that we are petitioning the Lord for. Okay, so let's first ask this question. What does it mean to hallow something? And I'll open that up for anybody who would like to give an answer to that. We are praying, "Hallowed be thy name." So what does it mean to hallow something? Well, I thought I heard something.
Honor.
To honor in what way? Well, that'll be a part of this. All right, you're getting more to some applications that we'll mention. To hallow something. I've invited Thomas Watson and John Flavel to join us this afternoon. They're going to be of help to us. But I wanted to, before you hear them, I wanted to hear you, Mr. Guffey, to recognize as holy. Okay, can you work that out a little bit for me? What does that mean to work? Okay, to set something apart, right? Okay, yeah. And, yeah. When we think about God as holy, when we think of the holiness of God, we can define that as God's absolute goodness. We're defining it positively when we say God is absolutely good. We can define holiness also negatively by saying God is absolutely separate from sin. And that's what you're getting at there, that set apart. So when we think of the holiness of God, we are affirming he is absolutely good. That's a positive statement. And we are also affirming in a negative way that he is absolutely separate from wickedness. So to hallow something is to set something apart for holy use. Here's Mr. Watson. To hallow something, he's defining it. He says it is to set apart a thing from the common use to some sacred end. We think of the incense that was used, the recipe for the incense offering. And I've preached to you about that. I've mentioned that fairly recently, that recipe was a holy recipe. It was a recipe to be employed only for the incense that was used in the offering, and you couldn't secretly mix up some for yourself and have it stored away at your house. That was a felony offense. You could not be in possession of it. You could not use it in any way for personal use. It was a very specific recipe, and it was only to be used. It was only to be in possession by the priests and to be used at that particular ceremony. It was a holy incense. It was not a common incense set apart for holy use. So Watson says it's to set apart a thing from the common use to some sacred end. And by end, he means purpose, okay? He says, as the vessels of the sanctuary, and we can think of all of the pieces of furniture, all right, a bowl, a laver, a bronze laver, a bronze bowl for washing. We have the seven-branched lampstand. We've got wooden objects covered with either bronze or gold. We have all of these things. The vessels of the he says, as the vessels of the sanctuary were said to be hallowed, so to hallow God's name is to set it apart from all abuses and to use it homily. Now, I think by that word, Watson is getting it, using it advisedly or very carefully. I think that's what he means by homily. So to use God's name advisedly or very carefully and reverently. To hallow God's name is to use it very carefully, very reverently. He says, in particular, hallowing God's name is to give Him high honor, which is what Leslie mentioned. It's to give Him high honor and veneration and render His name sacred. So when we say, hallowed be Thy name, are we adding something to God? Are we adding holiness to Him? And why not? Yes. And what do we add to God? Well, look at all the... That's so encouraging. Everybody's head is shaking vehemently no in unison. Yes, that is... Isn't that wonderful? He is the God we serve. We cannot... We add nothing to Him. We can't. There's nothing to be added to Him. All that He is as God... He is. Nothing to be added, nothing to be taken away. Okay, so we're not adding holiness to Him. We're not improving Him when we say, hallowed be Your name. We know that to be absurd. So Watson here is saying, hallowing God's name is to give Him high honor and veneration and render His name sacred. He says, we can add nothing to His essential glory. But we are said to honor and sanctify His name when... we lift Him up in the world and make Him appear greater in the eyes of others. And he illustrates, when a prince is crowned, there is something added really to His honor. But when we crown God with our triumphs and hallelujahs, there is nothing added to His essential glory. He cannot be greater than He is. Only we make Him appear greater in the eyes of others. We are glorifying Him for who He is, praising Him for who He is, coming before Him with thankfulness for who He is. So we're thinking already here about the being of God, all right, as Owen here points out, His essence, the being of God here. So we're thinking about, what does it mean to hallow something? It's to set a thing apart from common use. But when we do that with God's name, we're not adding anything to God. We're not bringing any change to God. We're not improving Him or taking anything away. We are magnifying Him in the eyes of others as within our own hearts and within the eyes of others, for the eyes of others, as Watson says here. We are treating His name as reverently. We're treating His name as sacred. We're treating His name as something that's not common. His name is apart from what is common. So we now need to ask, what is meant by God's name? If that's what we are to hallow, if that's what we are to regard as holy, then what is meant by God's name? What are we hallowing? John Flavel asked the question, but what are we here to understand by the name of God? What does this mean? He says, all those things are here intended by which He manifests Himself to the creature, His words, His works, and ordinances, but especially His glorious attributes. What are we referring to when we speak of God's name? We are referring to this, says Flavel. His words, his works, his ordinance, especially his glorious attributes. And then he quotes Exodus 34, 5 through 6. For there we read, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. This is what is meant by God's name, who he is and what he does. Who he is and what he does. This is God's name. So it's not simply just a moniker, right? But it is getting at, it's an unveiling to us of who our God is and what he has spoken, what he has commanded, what he's done, who he is and all of his perfections. So to hallow something, to set it apart from all abuses, to use it advisedly or carefully, to use it reverently, to set it aside as sacred, and that is all that God is and all that God does, set aside in our hearts as absolutely good. All of God's words, all of God's works, all of God's ordinances, all of his glorious attributes, absolutely good. So we're getting at the idea, aren't we? To hallow his name. Right? Flavel then asks, what is it to hallow or sanctify his name? Answer, not to infuse any holiness into him. So Flavel and Watson are in agreement on that. It's not to infuse any holiness into God, which he had not before, as if God were almost there and then we give it to him. No. Not to infuse any holiness into him, which he had not before, so he sanctifies us, says Flavel. But to manifest and acknowledge the holiness of God, then he quotes Isaiah 29:23, but when he seeth his children, the work of my hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel. So to hallow or to sanctify his name is to give him all of the glory for all that he is and all that he has spoken and all that he has done. It's not to infuse any holiness into him. It is to manifest and acknowledge his holiness. It's not to make him holy. But Flavel then asks this question, why hallowed or sanctified rather than glorified? Why that word rather than this? Answer, because his holiness is the beauty and luster of his other attributes. His greatness appears in his holiness. Isaiah 12:6, great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee, so doth his power. And Luke 1:49, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And therefore, says Flavel, and therefore his holiness is that attribute which angels single out especially to celebrate. Isaiah 6:3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And so did men also, as it is the cause why they should glorify him. Exodus 15:11, who is like thee, glorious in holiness. So we can think of that separateness of all of God's glorious perfections. There's this beauty to his perfections. There's this luster. There's this shining luster. There's this magnificence to his perfections. And we say this is his beautiful, magnificent, absolute goodness, his holiness. Okay, so let's look again back at our answer. What do we pray for in the first petition? In the first petition, which is, hallowed be thy name, we pray, and here's the first main thing that we're asking. We're asking that God would enable us and others to glorify Him in all that whereby He maketh Himself known. So I think that's what we've gotten at already. That God would enable us to magnify the absolute goodness of all that He is and all that He's done, and all the things that, whereby He has manifested Himself, where He has made Himself, by which He's made Himself known, that in those ways we would magnify Him as absolutely good. So, to pray, "Hallowed be Your name," we are asking of the Lord, "May Your name be sanctified in our hearts. Enable us, O Lord, to sanctify You, to set You apart in our hearts." But notice the second half of the answer in the catechism. "And we're asking that He would dispose all things to His own glory." So the full part here we're praying, it would go like this. For example, we pray, "Lord, we are asking that You would enable us to sanctify You in our hearts according to all by which You have revealed Yourself, all of Your words, Your works, Your ordinances, all of Your glorious perfections. And we are asking that Your name would be sanctified in all You do." So we are, in the first petition, we are contemplating the being of God, and we are contemplating the works of God. And we are desiring that the Lord would enable us to glorify Him in all that He is, setting Him apart in our hearts as holy, in all that He has, all the ways by which He's revealed Himself. And we are also praying, "Lord, in all that You do, magnify Your greatness, magnify Your holiness." The being of God and the works of God are in our mind when we think of God glorifying His holiness. Maybe we can pray like this: "Lord, may You enable us to set You apart in our hearts as God, one and only, most glorious. And may You bring all things to pass for the glory of Your holiness." And by the way, and I've mentioned this already, sanctifying God in our hearts, that's exactly what Nadab and Abihu did not do. They did not sanctify God in their hearts. They did not regard Him as holy. They regarded Him as a god for common use. Now, that ought to make you shudder. But when you think about it that way, then we realize the justness of God's response to them. They were regarding Him as a god of common, ordinary nature. But that's what the religions of the world do, right? They will make a god after themselves, right? Zeus was a reflection of the people who worshipped him, right? He was like them, but maybe like super them in some ways. And maybe not so super in some ways. This is what Nadab and Abihu were doing, refashioning God to be a God like them. Common and ordinary, to be a God like their nature. They weren't setting Him apart in their hearts as other. The God we serve is other than us. So two main parts. We're petitioning God that, one, He would enable us to know Him and acknowledge Him and praise Him as He has made Himself known. His being, His essence. Lord, help us to know You. Help us to be thankful for who You are. Help us to know and praise You for who You are, summarized as this: Lord, teach us Your holiness. Enable us to know and glorify You for what You are as God and how You are one and only God. Lord, may Your holy name be revered as holy in our hearts. You are holy, we are saying in our prayer. You are holy, enable us to glorify and praise your holiness. So this first part pertains to asking God to help us to know and love, to love what he is, to love his essence. But the second part, as we see broken out in the answer in the catechism, is that he would dispose all things according to his own glory. So we are asking God to enable us, as much as we are creaturely capable, we are asking, Lord, help us to know your glory. Help us to know your absolute set-apartness. And we are asking God to work all things for his own glory. So the first part of the petition pertains to God's being. The second main thing pertains to his works. So again, to summarize, perhaps the prayer may sound something like this. May you, O Lord, reveal your goodness to us that we may praise you fittingly. Lord, reveal your goodness to us that we may live before you fittingly. Lord, teach us. Help us to know your holiness that we may believe, that we may repent, that we may order all of our lives in a way fitting with who you are. And, O Lord, we are asking of you, bring everything to pass for the glory of who you are. O Lord God of heaven and earth, you are holy, and so we ask, enable us by the blessing of Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit to know what you have made knowable of your glorious self, and help us to bear the fruit of reverencing your holy name. This when we say, hallowed be your name. We are praising him for who he is, and we are asking that he would enable us to set him aside as holy in our hearts, and that from that then he would enable us to bear the fruit of reverencing his holy name. And then the second part of that answer, Lord, we are asking that you would bring everything and that you would bring everyone to your foreordained end for the magnifying and the praise of your own glory. Now, is this request fitting with what God has revealed of himself? We need to ask that, don't we? Remember, we laid these foundations of what a proper offering of prayer is, and it needs to be fitting with what God has revealed of himself and fitting with what God has revealed of us. Is this request fitting with what God has revealed of himself? Yes, this should be an easy answer. Yes, of course it's fitting. And thus we see the Lord teaching us to make this the first petition. Of course it's a fitting. Of course this is a fitting offering that honors God according to how he has, according to what he has revealed of himself. Of course God is holy in all he is. Thus we pray. And of course God is holy in all he does. Thus we pray. Now, with regard to the first request, we'll think about that here. The first request, right, that God would enable us to glorify him. Flavel says this. He's explaining this a little bit further. He says that God would, this is what we're asking, that God would fit us for and use us in the most serviceable capacity for the glorifying of his name. Okay? So that can be, when you say, hallowed be your name, this can be a particular request in your heart. It can go like this. Lord, fit me and use me in the most serviceable capacity for the glorifying of your name. Now, for you, it might be a little different than what his answer to you may be a little different than his answer for me. All right? And all of the variety of gifts as the Spirit distributes according to his will. There are a variety of ways that the Lord will employ us and he will make us serviceable for the glorifying of his name. that is a fitting request to bring to the Lord. You're wanting to set the Lord aside as holy in your heart, and you want to be used as a tool in His hands to magnify His greatness. All right? And then Flavel quotes Psalm 67, 1 through 3. God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Thy way may be known upon the earth. See? Lord, so work upon us and so enable us that Your name is glorified upon the earth. That's what Flavel is getting at. Lord, make us or use us for the glorifying of Your name. We desire to set You aside as holy in our hearts. And then from that, Lord, use us. We who have set You aside as holy in our hearts, use us that Your way would be known upon the earth, and His way is holy, yes? That Thy way may be known upon the earth, Thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. But after asking, God, be merciful unto us so that Your way be known. God, be merciful to us that the people would praise You. That the people would praise You. So aren't we asking for God's mercy to us when we pray, Hallowed be Your name, whereby He would use us in the most serviceable capacity to glorify His name. Now from that, you can think of even more particular requests that we can make out of this main request. And what might some of those be? Anybody like to offer? We're asking, Lord, make us serviceable. Use us in the most serviceable capacity for the glorifying of Your name. What particular request might you bring with that kind of heart? We might pray, Lord, enable us to love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, enable us to love one another as You've loved us. Would that not be to the great glory of His name? Yes. How about, a sermon you might have heard? Lord, make us a disciplined church. Lord, make us a church, enable us to be a church that loves holiness. And we hear the preaching of holiness and we love it. And then we bear the fruit of love to one another, where we are mutually stirring one another up to the holiness of love and the holiness of good works. That's a good particular prayer request in light of Hallowed be Your name. Lord, we love Your holiness. We praise You. You are holy. Lord, make us holy. We magnify Your holiness. We are thankful for Your holiness. Lord, make us holy for the praise of Your name. Lord, make us a holy congregation where we love holiness and we're encouraging one another unto holiness. Lord, for the glory of Your holiness, for the glory of Your name. Lord, make us a disciplined church. Now, if you're praying that, then you know where it begins. The disciplined church doesn't begin at the last step. It begins at the first step that's mentioned there in Matthew 18, and that's with personal discipline, right? The amputation mindset. Lord, this might be a particular request. We're just kind of making it more and more particular, but hallowed be Thy name. You're working from that, and then you come into the auditorium on a Lord's Day morning, and you get yourself settled in the pew, and you pray, Lord, help me to humbly hear Your word. Hallowed be Your name. Help me to sanctify You in my heart by helping me to humbly receive Your word today. Lord, whatever the rebukes are, bring those things to me. Whatever the corrections are, whatever instruction I need, oh Lord, hallowed be Your name. Help me to hear Your word so that I love holiness and so that my life is a growing example of holiness. Why? So that people would praise your holiness, so that it would be your name magnified. Right? So we're working it out. Now, with regard to the second request, it pertains to the work of God in bringing everything to its end for the glory of His own name. Here's what we're praying for when we pray that He would dispose all things to His own glory. Flavel, again, is helpful, I think. He says, this is what we're praying for. We're praying that God would so dispose and order all things in the world as may best promote and advance the glory of His name. We are praying when we say, hallowed be your name, we are also making this humble petition before the Lord. Lord, dispose, we ask, and order, we ask, all things in the world as may best promote and advance the glory of your name. Are you really ready to make that request? What are we more prone to ask for? Lord, make it stop hurting, right? And then we stop there, and that's... Or Lord, why me? Lord, just make it easy. Lord, just make it pain-free, all right? Now, there's nothing wrong with asking of the Lord for relief. There's nothing wrong with that. But what if we have this overall mindset as we ask for relief? We say, Lord, whatever is your will, I would ask for relief if you would grant me relief from this. But Lord, whatever is your will, may your name be glorified. And if your name be hallowed in the eyes of the people, by me staying where I am and learning patience, then Lord, so be it. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Lord, whatever would be best for the promotion and the advancing of the glory of your name, that is ultimately what my heart desires. And if that means that I am left here in a point of difficulty or tribulation or trouble or pressure, well, now we've already begun to contemplate how our soul will be strengthened to endure through that. If we have this, vision of this ultimate purpose of the glory of God's name, will that not strengthen us to bear through whatever is the difficulty that we're currently in? Okay, particular things that you might ask for. Particular things, so that God would dispose and order all things in the world that may best promote and advance the glory of His name. What particular thing might you ask for in that? Flavel has a suggestion. He says, on which account we may pray for the defeat of God's enemies. That we may pray for the defeat of God's enemies. That is a proper offering to bring. Lord, defeat your enemies. Reveal the folly of resisting you. Oh Lord, reveal the folly of reviling your people. Hallowed be your name. That's a particular request. We're praying that He would dispose all things to His own glory. A particular way that God would dispose all things to His glory? By the defeat of His enemies. We ought to pray for that. Psalm 83 says, fill their faces with shame, that they may seek Thy name. O Lord, let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish. So that I get my way? No. So that men may know that Thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Lord, defeat your enemies. Simply to make my life easier? No. No, that's too low of a view. No, Lord, bring your enemies to shame. Cause your enemies to perish. Fill the faces of your enemies with shame. so that all will know that you are the Most High over all the earth. Hallowed be your name. And the deliverance of his church and people. So we can pray for the defeat of God's enemies, but we can also pray for the deliverance of his church and his people. Is this not the disposing of all things for the glory of his name? It says, Flavel, Psalm 79:9, help us, O God, of our salvation for the glory of thy name. Psalm 79, help us, O God, of our salvation, deliver us, yes, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Hallowed be your name. Watson says this, sanctified be thy name. In this petition we pray that God's name may shine forth gloriously and that it may be honored and sanctified by us in the whole course and tenor of our lives. It was the angels' song, glory be to God in the highest. That is, let his name be glorified and hallowed. This petition is set in the forefront to show that the hallowing of God's name is to be preferred before all things. It is to be preferred before life. We pray, hallowed be thy name, before we pray, give us this day our daily bread. It is to be preferred before salvation, not Romans 9:23. God's glory is more worth than the salvation of all men's souls. As Christ said of love in Matthew 22:38, this is the first and great commandment. So I may say of this petition, hallowed be thy name. It is the first and great petition. It contains the most weighty thing in religion, which is God's glory. Watson continues and says, when some of the other petitions shall become useless and out of date, as we shall not need to pray in heaven, give us our daily bread, because there shall be no hunger, nor forgive us our trespasses, because there shall be no sin, nor lead us not into temptation, because the old serpent is not there to tempt, yet the hallowing of God's name will be of great use and request in heaven. We shall be ever singing hallelujahs, which is nothing else but the hallowing of God's name. Every person in the blessed Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, must have this honor to be hallowed. Their glory being equal and their majesty co-eternal, hallowed be thy name. To admire God's name is not enough. We may admire a conqueror, but when we say, hallowed be thy name, we set God's name above every name. And not only admire him, but adore him. And this is proper to the deity only. That's great stuff. Let me leave you with this question. And you can go home or you can go to a party and tell all your friends that your pastor asked you this question when you came to church today. And my question is, why are you here? I mean, really, why are you here? I saw an interview of a woman this past week. Tornado came. Maybe she was in Oklahoma. Her whole house collapsed around her. Somehow she survived. She's talking to the reporter. And she said, well, there must be a reason why I'm still here. God must have a reason for me. And to me, it seemed like she wasn't quite sure. Maybe to be of help to her family, something like that. God must have a purpose for me. So, why are you here? Why are you still here? Why did God make you in all things? Why are you still here? So Watson says, as we are praying, hallowed be your name. He says this, it's the very end of our being. It's the purpose for us being here. This is the reason why God made us. Why did God give us life, but that by living we may hallow his name? Why did he give us souls, but to admire him, and tongues, but to praise him? He says, the excellence of a thing is the end or the purpose for which it was made. As a star, to give light, and of a plant to be fruitful. So, he says, so the excellence of a Christian is to answer the end of his creation, which is to hallow God's name and live to that God by whom he lives. And then he says, he who lives and of whom God has no honor buries himself alive and exposes himself to a curse. That is to describe the one who has been given life, who has been given being, who has been given breath, and he returns no honor to God. He has been made, he has the gift of life, here he is living, and he does not hallow God's name in his own heart. Watson says, that man is burying himself alive and calling a curse down upon him. So, why are you here? Why are you here? This is why you're here, for the hallowing of his name. This is the purpose for which he made you. And, oh dear saints, the day is coming, isn't it, when we will do that without any frustrations of sin. Keep your vision set on that. That'll keep you strengthened today.